Hallelujah. Praise God. Love everybody. Appreciate everybody being here. We love you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. With all our hearts, souls, minds, and bodies. Hallelujah. Well, let's just share a little bit in the Word tonight, and hallelujah. Get ready for Sunday. I think maybe we'll have communion on Sunday. So I'm telling you up front and everyone else, hallelujah. Glory to God. Turn with me to Luke chapter 4. By the way, please, I said that I would mention this, so I'm going to. Adam Contreras, you know, we said months ago that he was getting close, but I think now they say he's really, really getting close. So be praying for the Contreras family. Norma comes on most services. She's not here. The hospice is in their home. He's getting close. So we just pray. Homer's talked to him about the Lord. I've talked to him about the Lord. I stopped by the other day and talked to him about the Lord, made sure. And all I can say is he says he has received the Lord. And so I said, he shook his head to start with, and I thought for a few moments, and we kept talking, and I went back and I said, now I've got to ask you, can you tell me, did you do that? And he said, yes, I have done that. Or he said, yes. So Candy was witness, and hallelujah, that's all we can do. And we just pray that that has happened, and he's ready to meet the Lord. He's getting close. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we love you. And we're thankful for Jesus. And we thank you for the authority that has been given to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Our spirits, our souls, our bodies are given over to you, Lord, to serve you, to follow you. And we thank you, Lord, that we have dominion. And we give you all dominion in this service. And we give you dominion over our hearts, our minds, our bodies, always, Lord, walking with you, giving ourselves over to the fullness of truth. And we thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Luke chapter 4. Actually, I could have started in 3. Jesus is baptized, and this was after his baptism, that the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit in chapter 3, verse 21, verse 22, the Holy Spirit descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, thou art my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And so then we know that right after this particular time, that Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, in verse 1 of chapter 4, says he returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterwards was hungered. And the devil said unto him, here's the tempter, here's Satan himself. He didn't send a lesser, diminished understudy. The man himself, the devil, the tempter that came originally to cause the fall of all mankind, said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones that they should be made bread. Now, Pastor Dave used to say that what happened in chapter 4 of Matthew and in chapter 4 of Luke, these temptations, they're a little bit in different order. But I think Matthew kind of gave us the sequential order because he put then and then. And Luke just kind of gave us the order. I just kind of said this is what happened. But nevertheless, that these three temptations that came to Christ, really, Pastor Dave used to say, they are just a synopsis of something much more fuller. That there was something going on a continual basis during those 40 days that we cannot even imagine what he went through. And so knowing this, You know, the word tells us that he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And that's so wonderful to know. Now, not all of that temptation took place in these 40 days, but so much of it did. And we'd have no idea what went behind all these things besides all the understudy temptations that you might say took place. The devil said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. In the chapter before, or at least in Matthew's gospel, God said, thou art my, when we just read it, thou art my beloved son. He comes to him to cause him to question, maybe. God's not going to question, the Son of God's not going to question who he is. His humanity, he's trying to get him to get into a reasoning with Satan himself. God just said, you are. He just says, if thou be. It's kind of what he did in the garden. Well, did God say? Did God say? So he's putting those reasonings out there. Remember that one of the eight spirits that were going to come to the church was Mr. Destruction of Reasonings. And so you have to be very careful. And I'm learning every day to go back to the Word, stay in meditation of the Word. And truth is in that, and truth alone is in that place of the meditation of His Word. Don't get into a reasoning match with the enemy. You want... You're made spirit, and spirit is to quote the Word of God and stand in the Word of God. And Jesus knew that. He said, Jesus answered and said unto him in verse 4, saying, it is written. This is our ammunition. This is our arsenal always, and we've gone over this before. It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word of God. And the devil taketh him up into a high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment's time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give unto thee, and the glory of them. For that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. Well, he's not going to fall for that. He's not going to go there. Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now, all of these quotations, this is amazing. I've went through this with you before, but so oftentimes we think that the OT is kind of, you know, we respect it, but we think the power is pretty much only in the New Testament. But all of these scriptures in which Jesus is saying to Satan, it is written, come out of the book of Deuteronomy, which is really kind of, in the natural, some of the more, what we'd think, more boring, but nothing in God's word is boring if you get the life out of it. But Satan, he said, it is written, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from thence. Hence, he actually tried to get him to commit suicide. For it is written, he shall give his angels. And here he begins to go at him with the Word of God. And here's something that's very seductive in the sense of the word, that the enemy knows the Word of God. And so he can come and he can actually quote the Word of God. So it's very important that you stay akin to the Holy Spirit, pray a lot in tongues, and know what is coming. And even if the enemy tries to get you off course by trying to quote the Word of God, come at you with reasonings in that sense of the word, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest that at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, or it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all of the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus, now this is where I want you to kind of focus in on tonight, because I want us to relate ourselves in a position of authority to where that whatever, wherever we're at in the stage of going into revival, we're in a place where we're at the precipice, we're at the threshold, I really believe that, of going into things that we have never seen before. And yet, what if we see a shadow of Jesus first and as prototype and then us next, then we've got to realize something, that Jesus, the Jesus who returned from the wilderness, was a different Jesus than the one who went into the wilderness. Now, bear with me for just a moment. I'm not saying that he himself changed, but he changed in a place of authority, in this sense of the word. He was full of the Holy Ghost going in to the wilderness, but it was of great, the Holy Spirit said, you got to do this. The Father said, you got to do this. You got to go into the wilderness. You've got to face him down, and you've got to win, and then come out of these temptations to carry the authority that you're going to need to carry for the rest of your ministry for the church. And so it was so important that the Jesus that went in, he's different now coming out, because now he's carrying dominion. He's faced him down. He does what the first Adam should have done. The second Adam, and I'm getting a little ahead of my notes, but I'll read this. I'll go on from here. The Jesus who returned from the wilderness was a different Jesus than the one who went into the wilderness. His baptism in the Holy Spirit was the start of the power, but defeating the devil was necessary to launch his ministry. Now for us, for you, for me, meeting our adversary in the wilderness on the way to a miracle ministry is necessary. We don't like that. We just like, okay, give me the miracles. I'll take the miracles. And the Lord says, okay, if you want the miracles, now you've got to know this, that if I come, the next person or the next entity that'll come will be the enemy to try your ground. And so Jesus, as our prototype, he goes into the wilderness, he comes out of the wilderness, but he's different now, because as he goes, now he's prepared with full authority. So what I'm saying is this, and what I want to get across to you, and I believe the Holy Spirit would get across to you, is this: whatever you're going through present tense, if you're a revivalist, whatever your challenge is right now is, in a certain sense, the wilderness of where the enemy is trying to get you off by saying, why haven't you received your healing yet? Why hasn't this manifest in our home yet? Why hasn't this? Why hasn't that? Jesus went there, defeated him, and come out with full authority. Our going through this is not ordained of God. God wasn't the one that was bringing the temptation, but he said, you're going to have to face this, because you're going to live and do miracle after miracle for the next 3.5 years, and you're going to have to face what Adam fell to, and you're going to face it, and you're going to do what Adam did not do. You're going to kick his butt out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So for us, are you getting this? For us now, it's not fun, but don't waste your trials. They're not fun, but take full authority to continue to speak the word. Because on the other side of this, once you get something, a trinket on, how can I say it that way, a trinket on your belt of authority, I defeated this one, okay, then you kind of, that's innate inside of you. You won that. You know how to beat that each time. Many are being challenged from challenged, but the miracle ministries are about to be born. Hallelujah. I really believe that. I believe that many, many miracle ministries, revival is coming, but you as men and women of God are going to be used like never before. And so what's he going to do? He's going to, this is make or break time. So we're going to step across this line with all of this, and we're going to say, okay, this was the wilderness. We're stepping out of the wilderness, and man, just like Jesus, bam, he was just shot. It was like he was, from that point on, it was like he was shot out of a cannon. Miracle after miracle after miracle. The last Adam, and I'm not going into much teaching on this, but Jesus was the last Adam. There's a first Adam. Jesus is not the second Adam, because there's not going to be a third or fourth or fifth. He's the last Adam, and the word refers to him as that, and I'll read that in just a moment. Although the full work of Jesus' victory over Satan for mankind does not culminate until Christ's resurrection, the wilderness seems to be the first record or recorded encounter of the devil facing the last Adam since the victory over the first Adam in Genesis chapter 3. Now you wonder how long that the enemy kept observing through the centuries. As soon as man fell in Genesis chapter 3, there's a prophecy by God. He said, a man's going to come. I'm going to do it in justice here. We go there. But he said, that seed will, you'll bruise his heel, but he'll crush your head. And I may have it reversed in the way that it says it. Satan knew that the Messiah was coming. He knew that the Christ was going to come, but he didn't know who he was. He did not know until he probably searched through the centuries. Eve says, God's given me a man child, she thought that Abel was the one. And so Satan killed Abel with Cain. And he kept watching. Is this the one? Is this the one? Is this the one? And then God says, that's the one. He's the one. God says at the River Jordan, this is my beloved son. And if the enemy had any doubt at all, he knew then. He knew then. And so Jesus comes out of the wilderness, but he did what the first Adam did not do. He wins the war right to start with, and the first Adam falls. The last Adam, wins over the devil and gives him the standing, and gives, really, it's amazing. Adam not only betrays God, high treason with God, but he also betrays his wife. Because we see, if we went back there, and we're jumping around a lot, but if we went back to Genesis 3, we see that when the serpent comes at her, Adam's right there with her. He should have, right away, before the conversation got anywhere where it went, and just said, get out of here. But he didn't do that. And as a result, he contemplated, and he really, it's hard to say this, he chose Eve over God in a certain sense of the word, because he said, she ate, I don't see her dying. And he made a reasonable choice, but it was high treason. Satan saw that in the first Adam. He realizes this is the Messiah that has come. He wants to know if he can get over to him, or get over him what he did on the first Adam. But 1 Corinthians 15, 45 through 47 says this, so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Hallelujah. We've been quickened by the life of Jesus Christ, that born again nature, or the nature of life. He wasn't born again coming into the world. He already had the life of God in him. But that quickening spirit, the Holy Spirit now has taken that spirit, the Spirit of Christ, and quickened us from death to life. Hallelujah. Howbeit, that was not first which was spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth and earthy. The second man is from heaven, or man is the Lord from heaven. Now, if you're still in Luke's gospel, as soon as Jesus comes out of the wilderness, what's the first thing he does? Verse 16 says he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Now, just think about this for a second. The custom or the habit of Jesus was to be in the house of God and to read the Word of God. So right there we see that the Word tells us the insight of this is what he was, this is what he was growing up. And there was delivered unto him the book of Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And this is what he began to say. And this is what we need to understand concerning our own personal ministry. What he has released on us today is the same ministry that he received of his Father. His Father has now become our Father. And this is what he said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has what? Anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, hallelujah, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Hello, Immokalee. We pronounce you born again. We've received this ministry from Christ as Christ received it from the Holy Spirit, his Father. After he came, after he returned from the wilderness, our returning, we're coming through things, and we're already equipped. But I'm telling you, what we're going to see on the other side of so much of this is something that is going to be so incredible that we're going to just say, my God, I never knew it was going to be so wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus' miracle-working ministry was born at that time. After he comes out of the wilderness, after he goes in and reads, this is my ordination. I've been ordained for this. I'm telling you, this is what we've been ordained for. What's your ordination? Well, again, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. He's anointed you to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent you to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Hallelujah. There are so many people that are hurting, so many people that are needing Christ to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus' miracle ministry was born, and Jesus begins to quote from Isaiah. And this is our identity of ministry is here. Why don't you just go over to Isaiah chapter 61, because we'll read it for ourselves there. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are you glad you're in church tonight?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah 61, verse 1 says, the Spirit of the Lord, this is where Jesus was reading from, is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Hallelujah. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness. Hello, trees of righteousness. And the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build up the old wastes, or the waste places. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities and the desolation of many generations. The culmination, something else that we're seeing in this third great awakening that's about to take place and has already started in this revival, is all the wonderful moves of God and the valuable teachings of the past are coming together with the present tense speakings of the Lord and the moves of the Holy Spirit. And God is marrying these two things together to bring forth his will in these last days. So what was the old is being brought up with the new. The truths of the old are being brought up with the new. Things that the Holy Spirit taught us for the last 30 years are being brought up to a place that now the Holy Spirit is saying these things are now, present tense, going to be birthed. Hallelujah. The past and the present. Where are we coming to? Now, these are just verses that, and I knew it was going to be kind of short tonight for certain reasons. But where are we present tense coming to as far as what's going to be said about us and what are we going to be able to say about ourselves? 1 Corinthians, I'll just read this. 1 Corinthians 2, 4 and 5 says, my speech, Paul said this, and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit and of power. Hallelujah. So we're coming to this place where all of this teaching, all the preaching that you've heard for years is about to culminate into a place where the demonstration of power is going to be seen. Pastor Dave used to say this. He said, first doctrine and then power. And that's what we're about to see. We've seen the doctrine. We're going to continue to teach doctrine. I appreciate so much having a fellow soldier, Homer, with me that just really teaches the power of the Word of God and sound doctrine. And we're just going to continue to teach this, but I'm going to tell you what we're going to see is, and what we believe God is, our Sunday services, our Wednesday. I'm not moved by these crowds. I'm moved not by what I see. I'm moved by what he says to me in our prayer closets. The things that have been are not what is going to be. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. John 14, Jesus said this, 11 through 14, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Hallelujah. I can't wait for the day in which I can say, okay, if you don't believe anything that I've said, will you believe me because of what I can do? Can you watch what I can do and believe that the Father's works are in me? And I believe that day is here. Hallelujah. And so we're going to stay the course. Verily, verily, Jesus said, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And whatsoever, everybody say whatsoever. That sounds so big, but Jesus, I believe it. I believe it, Jesus. I believe it, Jesus, and my believability factor is increasing every day. Hallelujah. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Hallelujah. If you shall ask anything, God, let that be a living reality, Father. Anything. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I will do it. I will do it. Thank you, Lord. Somebody said, well, what about this one? You're not going to ask things if you know him that you shouldn't ask. Acts 17:6 is going to be fulfilled. The last part of that verse says this, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's just stand and worship the Lord for just a little bit. Harry, come and just lead us in some worship. Small crowd tonight, it's okay. Short service, but we're just going to worship the Lord just for a little bit. Hallelujah. Probably a million people watching, though. Small crowd. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Glorify you, Jesus. Jesus.
I want to be unmovable.
Sing it to him.
Unshakable. Let my roots go down to you.
Of righteousness, the planting of God. As that tree is growing, Lord, sometimes we don't see the growth growing. We know that moment by moment in the Spirit it is growing if we just stay in your word and stay in your presence. Lord, it'll be like one day tree that plants, grows, and that, Lord, just covers like a green bay tree that just spreads its branches out. Lord, a great harvest of souls will be under the branches of these trees. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus, more than ever before. We commit ourselves unto you. Bless this crowd and all those who are watching. Bring us back, we pray. We give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. We had an incredible storm just before service. I think that was a big factor today. So I'm going to give people excuses. Amen. Hallelujah.